Good morning. Today's Daf Amud Mitzvahs Nun Gemara Nun Beis Amud Beis, and we are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud, and No Sna La Meister Sheni Ve'Nechoshe Sheno Ela Nefesh Ra'ah, a citation of our Mishnah, and we're going to be doing really just one topic today, and we're going to be talking about Meister Sheni and Pidgin Meister Sheni, a topic that comes up again and again throughout Shas. And today, because we're talking about coinage, in this parak, we're talking about coinage, so therefore it's going to have a big role in today's daf. In fact, it's going to be the totality of today's daf, and tomorrow as well. Okay, anyway, but let's work on today. So what happens is that if I have a coin and the coin is effaced, the coin is slightly now rubbed out. So what we've been discussing yesterday, right, exclusively yesterday's daf, the idea that now there's something called onah. In other words, is that if the coin now is effaced to the point where it is a percentage less than its original, so now using that coin and using it as legal tender for its quote-unquote face value is going to be an iser of onah. There will come a point in time where the coin is so effaced and so rubbed out and so diminished that you're going to even have to destroy the coin, but that goes back to yesterday's daf, and let's leave it by yesterday. In the meantime, however, just a general idea, that once a coin now is effaced and physically missing a percentage, so then we're in the discussion of onah. So how much does it have to be missing? So again, if I didn't see yesterday's daf, if we didn't go through yesterday, so you would have said a six. In other words, by onah of merchandise of sale, so the amount that is undercharged or overcharged, where it now will elicit the prohibition of the Torah, is a six, right? Approximately 18%. So so over here you would say it's going to be a six, right? That's what you would say. However, in the Mishnah we had not one but three opinions amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of what this year is going to be. And the three positions, I'm not giving it in particular order. Three positions are a 24th or a 12th or a six. Okay, that is going to be the ratio of how much the coin is going to rub out and arrive at the threshold of onah. Just to keep everything as simple as possible, so I'm right now going to focus on the six. I just wanted to highlight again how, by the coin, there is a range of position. The Gemara already acknowledging yesterday's daf. That's a little bit strange. Why should coins be different than merchandise? The Gemara discussed this yesterday. In the meantime, however, so when I have a coin, so as long as the coin has not been diminished by a six, so then the coin is still good. You could use it at face value. And once a coin now is diminished to anything of a six or below a six, so then we are in the world of onah. You cannot use the coin for its face value. This is what we discussed yesterday. And now we continue. Now we're continuing over here by setting the end of the Mishnah. And that is that this coin now, no salam, Meister Sheni. So you can use it for Meister Sheni. So again, the basics, we all know this. We do this numerous times throughout Shas, but let's do it again. And that is that in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, so the second 10%, parenthetical note, first 10% is Meister Rishon, that goes to the Levi annually, in years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Year 7, obviously, Shemitah, no tithing in the Shemitah year. But then the second 10%, so in year 1, 2, 4, 5, again, you say this enough times, it comes out naturally. So in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so then the second 10% is what's called an Halacha Meister Sheni. And now what do I do with that? So I take that second 10% and I bring it to Yerushalayim. And I'm going to eat that produce in Yerushalayim. The Torah then acknowledges. That's really hard. In other words, to take physical fruit, 10% of your produce, to take physical fruit and bring it to Yerushalayim, that's very difficult. So the Torah says, okay, so I'll tell you what you do. So what you're going to do is you're going to be podeh. You're going to redeem it. Meister Sheni is Kedusha. And so therefore what I could do is I could take that Kedusha, transfer from the fruit onto money. And what you, of course, want to do is a dollar-for-dollar transfer from the Meister Sheni onto the money. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take the money into Yerushalayim, and the Torah says, with that money, you're going to go ahead and now do a second transfer of the Kedusha's Meister Sheni from the money now onto whatever food you wanted to buy in Yerushalayim. Now, you don't have to buy fruit in Yerushalayim. You could buy B'chol Asher Tava Nafshecha. You could buy whatever you'd like. Basar, Yayin, Sheikhar, Torah says you can buy whatever you want as long as it has some sort of caloric intake, right? The Mishnayos in a number of places says can't be water, can't be salt, and if I'm not mistaken, by the way, I'm going on memory, I think mushrooms is out of the question as well. Okay, no offense to the fungus community, but no mushrooms. So the but 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 the But anyway, but the point is that that's the general construct of Maaser Sheni. So it's going to be Kedusha going from the fruit to the money. Money be brought to Yerushalayim. And then in Yerushalayim, you go ahead and you buy food with money. And you're eating it in Yerushalayim. Parenthetical note, by the way, the Maaser Sheni has Kedusha. Which means what? Meaning is that the Maaser Sheni belongs to me, but I'm regulated in terms of where I can eat it. Or alternatively, no. The money belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Mamon Gavoa. And it just happens to be that Hashem invited me to go ahead and to eat it. Hopefully this also will ring memories in your head. Machlokes Tanayim. Whether or not the Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedrut or Mamon Gavoa. Okay. It happens to be that as long as we're going to be talking about Maaser Sheni, you know that's coming up. And that's coming up a little bit later on. Okay, just a warning today. I'm going to do this daf a little bit on the shorter side. On the other hand, this parts of today's daf is going to admittedly get a little bit complicated. Just right a number of points which are going to be super technical. But let's cover it. So v'nosel ma'aser sheni v'nechoshes sheni ela nefesh ra. So this is where we left off yesterday. And this is now the Gemara quoting the Mishnah, and that is when I have a coin and the coin is slightly effaced, so go ahead and use it for your Maaser Sheni, which means now that you're going to take this coin and be poured the Maaser Sheni onto this coin. So far, so good. Amra Papa Shmaminahai Mandamuke Mazuzei. So Mikrei Nefesh Ra. So the Mishnah said that anyone who doesn't accept this coin is Nefesh Ra. He's cheap. He's miserly. In other words, as long as a coin is within the margin of error of a good coin, meaning it hasn't hit the threshold of Onah, who's ever Onah you're subscribing to. So in other words, the coin is slightly effaced. It's fine. Accept the coin. And if you don't accept the coin, you're Nefesh Ra'ah. Right? You're labeled. You are now. You can be labeled as somebody who's cheap. So Vahani Miluhu Desagiluhu. The Gemara says, okay, but with the following provision, and that, of course, is that you're not going to have any problem circulating this coin. Meaning if the coin is effaced and you know that the next time you try to pass this coin off as legal tender and you're going to get have a problem in doing so, so then you are now not morally bound to accept this coin. Okay. So again, basically, you just have to have familiarity with the market. Meaning there are two issues over here. There's the Choshen Mishpat issue of whether or not this coin can be called legal tender. And then, of course, there's a practical issue of, is anyone going to give you a hard time? So, Misayel lechizkiya, damer chizkiya, bala porta, porta b'shava. So, bala chala, mechala b'yafeh. Ah. And the Gemara says, now, this is going to be consistent with the position of chizkiya. And really, for the rest of today's day, we're going to be focusing on the statement of chizkiya. So, let's get it down, and let's get it down really good. And that is as follows. So, let's say, for example, you have a coin, and the coin is chaser, it's deficient, it's missing, it's physically missing. So now, if you want to go ahead and be porate, you want to now make change of this coin, so porta b'shavya. So then what you're going to do is that you're going to be porated, but you're going to be porated based on its actual value. Meaning, it is not face value. In other words, face value would have been good had it been full and complete. This coin is chaser, the coin is diminished, and so therefore you're not going to be making change of it based on face value, but rather you're going to make change of it based on actual value, meaning the actual weight content of the coin. Good. That part's easy. That doesn't require a lot of thought. Now, balechalala. However, if you're going to go ahead and be mechalal maaser sheni onto this coin, mechalal biyafya. So what you can do is that you can treat this coin as face value. If you're going to go ahead and exchange Maaser Sheni onto the coin. Okay, now, that obviously requires thought, and that requires explanation, meaning that if I'm just simply going to go ahead and make change of the coin because I want its actual value content of it, but transferred over to other coins, brutos, smaller coins, so then you're not going to use face value because, again, it's diminished. It's the diminished coin, and it went above the threshold of Onah. So in other words, it's not value to face value. So that part's fine, but the second part, so that requires thought, explanation. And that is that if I'm going to be mechalam on Maaser Sheni, I could treat it like face value. My ka'amar. So the Gemara says, that needs better understanding. So achi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so far, just a little bit better understanding. And that is the idea that it's a contrasting point. Meaning, if I'm going to make change of it, I can only make change of it based on its actual value, not face value. But to be mechalal, I can use its face value. Okay, good. So far we only have a slightly better understanding of Chizkiah, but we don't fully understand it. So the Mamer d'Savar Chizkiah, so the Gemara over here gives us now even a better understanding. And that is Mezalzalim b'Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, so presumably what's that? What Chizkiah is saying over here is that when it comes to Maaser Sheni, so there's no need to be accurate. In other words, with Maaser Sheni, you could be Mezalzal. You can, well, as we would say, play around with the numbers a little bit. I know I've got $100 worth of Maaser Sheni that I need to redeem. Okay, so the coin right now, is the, even though its face value is 100, but it's not actually 100, okay. I don't need a dollar for dollar. In other words, I know in my introduction today I said that when you're Mechala, you're Maaser Sheni, I need dollar for dollar. So the Gemara now is suggesting that within the Shita of Chizkiah, maybe that's not true. Maybe you can be Mezalzal. But the Gemara says, but Vamar Chizkiah Maaser Sheni Shein Bo Shava Pruta. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to now contrast that with another statement of Chizkiah, and that is the following. Let's say I have Maaser Sheni and it's not worth a pruta. And what I can't do is that I can't be mechalal onto a matbea. In order for there to be chilol, it's a monetary transfer. Monetary transfer means that you have to have shear. You have to have minimum amount. And over here, if my Maaser Sheni does not hit the threshold of a pruta, so we have a problem. So what do you do? So Omer, who v'chamsha mechulam ma'aser v'shonos, lefishi yafshel al adam letzamse ma'osav. So here's what you're going to do. Now this is the solution of Chizkiah. Okay, Chizkiah's solution. That's what we're going to call it from this point going forward. Is that you're going to take that under that little amount of Maaser Sheni, the under pruta Maaser Sheni, and what you'll do is you'll just simply tack that on to a coin where I already redeemed Maaser Sheni onto. Okay. And basically, the thought process of Chizkiah is as follows. I have a coin that I was already Mechala Maaser Sheni onto it. Now, when I was Mechala in round number one, so what did I do? So probably what I did is that, let's say the coin was a $100 coin. Again, I know I'm using our denomination. It's just easy to say, easy to talk like that. And so what I did is that I didn't take $100 worth of Maaser Sheni and put it into the coin. What I did is I took 95, 96. In other words, I wanted to make sure that I had more coin than Maaser Sheni. So I erred on the side of Maaser Sheni. More, let's put it a little bit clearer, meaning I wanted to make sure that every dollar of Maaser Sheni now is going to in fact be represented by the coin. Meaning to say that every Maaser Sheni coin, you could be pretty much rest assured that there's going to be a little bit of room left in every coin. And now what happens is that I got a little bit of Maaser Sheni left over. And now what do I do with it? There's room in every single Maaser Sheni coin. So says Chizkiah. Lefi she'i efshel ala adam letzamse ma'osav. And so over here, so now, right, it's confusing. Meaning we have Chizkiah's solution, but at the same time, we also have a statement of Chizkiah that we made just earlier. And now taking these two and putting them side by side brings us to confusion. We just learned together that every Maaser Sheni coin is always going to have a little bit left over. I'm never going to be mechalal the full value of Maaser Sheni onto a coin. I'm always going to make sure that the equation is going to favor the coin. I'll have more coin than I'll have Maaser Sheni when doing that chilo. And meanwhile, over here, so when I take my Maaser Sheni coin, that was the solution of Chizkiah. And that's why if I have a little bit less than a pruta worth of Maaser Sheni, just tack it to an already existing coin. But previously we said that if I'm going to take my Maaser Sheni coin and I'm going to make change of it, so and the coin is effaced, it's less than its original value. So when I'm making change of it, so then b'shavya. But when I'm going to be mechalal it, so then you're going to be doing it at face value. How do those two work out? So my b'yafa b'taras yafa. So So the Gemara says as follows. The solution is as follows. Toras Yafe. Hachi Kamar. Look at Rashi. Rashi over here, second to last narrow line. Kishem shekishabala porta bishalim lo yikabla hemen alehejah ele b'shavya v'yesh mezazel medameh ha-yoser b'chdei pachsa kach kishabal lechalala mechalala b'shavya damim p'chusim. So the so when you are when you are going to be making change of it in Yerushalayim, so what you're going to do is you're going to be working with face value. So the however, Mishechilel, once you, next Rashi, B'toros Yafeh, but once you redeemed it, Ala Kefi Damim Vadaim Shalah, Kach Lo Yichala Azu Ela B'damim Vadaim Shalah. Okay. So the way Rashi understands it, let's go over my best understanding of Rashi, is as follows. When I'm taking the Meister Sheni and putting it into the coin, I'm always going to make sure that there is more coin than there is Meister Sheni. Okay. And that means to say that there's always, in any given coin, there's always going to be effectively more, right? There's always going to be change in that coin. And in the event that I have a little bit of extra Meister Sheni and it's less than a pruta, I don't know what to do with it, just add it to the coin. Good. Now I'm in Yerushalayim and I have that coin. And that coin now, that Meister Sheni coin, which is now slightly effaced and slightly diminished in size. And now I want to go ahead and use that to buy food in Yerushalayim. So now what you could do is you could basically use it at face value. Meaning at that point in time, the assumption is that whatever that coin was is totally filled with the Kedusha of Meister Sheni. Good. So that's the that's how to synthesize the two positions of Chizkiya. Okay, so Gufa Amar Chizkiya Meister Sheni Sheinbo Sheva Pruta. So Amar Huva Chamshom B'chula Amasav Rishonim L'fishi Yefshel Oladam L'sam Sema Osav. And for the remainder of today's daf, here's what we are going to do, and that is that this idea that when I have now just a small amount of Meister Sheni, so what I'm going to do is that I can't transfer that over to a coin, because again, in order to do a transfer, I need a shear. The shear has to be at least a pruta. I don't even have a pruta. I have less than a pruta. So what do? So I just transfer it onto an already existing Meister Sheni coin. And the reason why I could do that is because I can rest assured that every Meister Sheni coin is going to have a little bit of change. Okay, so, Gufa. Amar Chizkiya, I read that already, Meisvei. And so now what we're going to do is that we're going to learn together in a series of Mishnayos and Braisos. We're going to see whether or not this is a supportable position. Meisvei, Truma v'Bikurim. So when it comes to Truma and when it comes to Bikurim, so they're going to share a lot of halachas that we've gone over numerous times. Number one, Chayav and Alav Misa. So point number one is that it's Chayav Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Okay. In other words, any non-Kohen who eats is subject to Misa. And number two, Chomish. And if you're going to redeem it, you're going to have to, not redeem it. These are non-redeemable items, If a non-Kohen were to eat it, so then he would have to not only make restitution of principal value, but he also has to add on a Chomish. And as we turn to the top of Nagimah, Asum Lazarim, and a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat neither Bikurim nor Truma. And v'hein nechsei kohen, and they belong to the kohen, property of the kohen. And olim be'echad umeyan, and then if we're going to be talking about bittul, I need a ratio of 100 parts chulin to 1 part truma. Then and only then do we have bittul. And finally, v'tunim rechitzas yadayim. And if you're going to eat them, you have to wash your hands. Meaning, obviously, we're speaking out to the kohanim. And v'herev shemesh. And if a kohen becomes tamei, so the only way he would be able to eat it is if he becomes tahor. How do you become tahor? Two steps. Step number one, you tovel in the mikvah. Step number two, harev shemesh, you need sunsetting. So, harei elu b'truma v'korim, hashein kem b'maiser. Okay, so, we just gave an assortment, approximately half dozen halachas that apply to both truma v'korim, that do not apply to maiser sheni. Okay, pause. Breathe. I'm talking to me. Now, my hashein kem b'maiser. So, obviously, over here, we're looking at numerous contrasting points between truma bikurim versus meiser. Now, la mechal de meiser bata beruba. So now, what's the contrast in terms of bittul? Meaning, when it comes to truma, you need 100 parts chulin, 1 part truma. Then and only then are you gonna have bittul. Now, if I take meiser and I contrast it, you know, by meiser I don't need that. Well, what's next? If you don't need 100 parts to 1 part, so then all you need is majority. Now, I know, by the way, that's a big jump, right? A ratio of 100 to 1, and then going down to a ratio of 2 to 1. I know that's a big jump. It just happens to be, there's nothing in between. Meaning, that's the next, in the world of bittul, that's it. It's either 100 to 1 or 2 to 1. Now, I know, hopefully, you're thinking to yourself, what about 60 to 1? Right? I heard about the 60 to 1. So it's true there's something called 60-1, but that's a ratio just to be mevatel tam. That just takes care of the taste of an item. And it's not 60-1, there's no magic to 60-1. 60-1 is just the reality of taste gets negated when you have a ratio of 60-1. But it's really, it's not, the number is not significant. It's just simply, I need to negate taste. So, right, it's fair to wonder, like, what happened to 60-1? On the table of bittul, it doesn't really belong on the table. So on your bittul table, you have 200-1, 100-1, and 2-1. So if Meiser Sheni is not 100-1, so now it's 2-1. Rove. Good. Now, so So now, here's my problem. My problem is that we just went together in the Brisa that Meiser Sheni is subject to Bittul. Okay. The ratios, right, we're discussing. But in other words, but step number one, there's Bittul by Meiser Sheni. Now, if there's Bittul by Meiser Sheni, so now, here's the problem. We have the solution of Chizkiah. What was the problem? The problem was is that I got just a little bit of Meiser Sheni. What do I do with it? Oh, I tell you what I do with it. Absorb it into a coin that already was used for Chilul. Because in every coin, there's always going to be a little bit of room left over. So in other words, for every Meiser Sheni, so there is now, according to Chizkiah, even Meiser Sheni that's less than a pruta, it's solvable. And in Halacha, anything which is usher but solvable falls under the category of Davar She'esh La Matirin. Right? We're about to enter Yontif, right? Yontif Monday night. So Tuesday, Wednesday is Yontif. So let's say an egg is laid on Yontif. You know, I'm talking about the chicken in your backyard that lays an egg, right? So who doesn't have one? So the egg that's laid on Yontif, so what do? So you wait. In other words, the egg that's laid on Yontif is usher because of what's called Nolad. So what you do now is that after Yontif is over, so you go ahead and enjoy the egg. So on Yontif, it's usher. After Yontif, it's mutter. It's a solvable isser. You just wait. Now, the rule is that anything which is solvable, any isser which is solvable, it's davar she'esh lo matirin, afilu be'elef lo batel. The Gemara in the beginning of Beitza discusses this at some length. And over here now, we are in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Gimel. And so, if in fact, all Meiser Sheni is solvable, like Chizkiah is telling you, so then there should never be bittul. So here's the problem. The problem is that we just learned in the Brisa that there's bittul by Meiser Sheni, and the problem is that there shouldn't be bittul because it is a davar she'esh lo matirin. Okay, good. So the Well, maybe you're not reading the Brisa correctly. Maybe you're not learning the Brisa correctly. Maybe the Brisa is telling me, you know, by Truma there is bittul as opposed to Meiser Sheni. That's all the Brisa has told us, is that, you know, Meiser Sheni is different. How is it different? Oh. Maybe Meiser Sheni is different because maybe there's no bittul at all. Maybe that's what the Brisa means. The Gemara says, I'm not open to that idea because legabi truma, chumah de truma ketani, kula de truma lo ketani. So the Brisa is going over, here are all the things that are stringent by truma. Okay. Here are all the things that are stringent by truma. You can't tell me now. And by Meiser Sheni, you know, there's no bittul. No, that's not the theme of the Brisa. So v'hakatani v'hei nechsei kohen. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm going to push back on that because what do we say regarding truma and bikurim, property of the kohen? And that's not true by Meiser Sheni. What do you mean that's not true by Meiser Sheni? Well, if Meiser Sheni, who is it the property of? Ah, it's Hashem's property. Meaning the Brisa is actually telling us that there is in fact a kula when it comes to Truman Bikurim, which is that it's private property. And by Meiser Sheni, it's not private property. So you're trying to argue that there's a theme to the Brisa. The Brisa is telling me, here are all the things that were going to be machmir by Bikurim and Truma. Masha'en came by Meiser Sheni. No, it's not true. In other words, an example where there's a kula by Truman Bikurim is that it actually belongs to the Kohen. Kohen goes over to woman. Harei Mekadesh Asli, but Truma Zu. Harei Mekadesh Asli, but Bikurim Zu. It works because it's his. Meiser Sheni, it's not going to work because it's not yours. Now, if you go back to my introduction this morning, you will remember, hopefully, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. But right now, we're going to take the position that Meiser Sheni is, in fact, Mamun Gavoa. So, where are we right now? We're a little bit stuck. Because right now we are at least contemplating the idea that there's going to be bittul by Meiser Sheni. There's bittul by Truma, there's bittul by Meiser Sheni. But if we have Chizkiah's solution, which is that anytime I got Meiser Sheni, and it's just too little, I can't be Mechala because it doesn't hit the threshold, we'll just already roll it into a existing Meiser Sheni coin. Because in every Meiser Sheni coin, there's going to be a little bit of room. Which means that all Meiser Sheni now becomes a solvable problem, and therefore it's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin, and therefore there should be no Bittul. And meanwhile, over here, if Chizkiah is right, so there should never be Bittul. In the Brisa we just learned together, it seems that there is Bittul by Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara says like follows: Lo sakadacha detanya beheja Meiser Sheni bata beruba veiza Meiser Sheni amru be Meiser Sheni boshava pruta shnichnas yushalayim biyatsa imisa ledechizkia laavilei ledechizkia venecholei amas rishonim. So the Gemara says, look, I'm going to share with you with this Brisa. This Brisa says it black on white. The Brisa says that if I have Meiser Sheni, which is unredeemable, so what's going to happen is that there's going to be Bittul, and the ratio of Bittul is 2 to 1. Okay. Now, the Bryce over here happens to give an example. Meiser Sheni, what are we talking about? Meiser Sheni Bo Sheva Pruta and Nichnas Yushalan Vyatza. So either it's less than a Sheva Pruta, which again means that I just simply can't redeem it because it doesn't hit monetary threshold, which in order to redeem, I need monetary threshold that doesn't hit it. Alternatively, it went into Yushalayim, it came out of Yushalayim. Okay. So the question on the table is that if we have Chizkiah's solution, so then what are we doing with this Brisa? The Brisa that tells me that because I can't redeem it, so therefore it becomes Bata Barov. So the E Isa, I'm just rereading the Gemara's question. Okay, good. So why don't we just do Chizkiah's solution? So the Lo Parak. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Chizkiah's solution works and only works if I already have a Meiser Sheni coin. In other words, I already did chilo once before. And now, once I did it before, so now I have a coin that's got a little bit of room left over. Maybe the Brisa is over here talking about a case where I don't have a coin. So the Gemara says, the Lo Parak. So the Gemara says, Venetza, Meisa, Diyasle, Venitzterfinu. So bless your soul, says the Gemara, I got a great idea. And that is, get a Meiser Sheni coin. In other words, so now get another piece of Meiser Sheni, obviously one that has over Pruta, redeem it onto the coin, and now I got a coin with a little bit of room. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem with that, and that is that the Araisa and the Rabbanan lo mitzarfe. So the Gemara says is that, well, the problem now becomes the following, and that is, I got two Meiser Shenis. One Meiser Sheni that stand alone, another Meiser Sheni that got mixed in with Chulin. Okay. The Meiser Sheni got mixed in with Chulin. Now, this, as I told you, some of today's stuff is going to be a little bit complicated. Here we are. Okay. I'll say it, right? If you get it, great. And if not, play back and listen again. And if that doesn't work, it's because I'm just not clear enough. Okay. So when I have now these two Meiser Shenis, one mixed with Chulin, the other not mixed with Chulin. So the one mixed with Chulin is going to be blocked from Bittul because of Davar Sheish L'Matirin. But that blockage of Bittul is only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not a Din D'Araisa. Meaning, the Din D'Araisa tells me that there actually is Bittul. The fact that there was Bittul blockage, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. So each requirement for Chilul is only on a rabbinic level. Masha Inkein, standalone Meiser Sheni, of course requires Chilul Min HaTorah. It's Meiser Sheni Min HaTorah. So now what do I have side by side is the Rabbana Meiser Sheni, the Araisa Meiser Sheni. And as a general rule, throughout the world of Trumas and Maestros, you can't mix the Araisa the Rabbanans together. It can't be Mitzarif. Okay, so the Gemara says, Venesi Demai. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we do the following? If the problem is the Araisa and the Rabbanan not being able to be mixed together, I got a solution, and that is take my mixture Meiser Sheni and Chulin, which again, it's only now rabbinic, and use a coin where I redeemed Demai Meiser Sheni. That which I purchased from an Amaretz, which only requires Chilo Midrabanan, not Minatorah, and now I got a coin which is rabbinic in nature. Beautiful. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So the Dilma Asil Asuri Vade, the Gemara says, yeah, but Once you start playing around with coins, one coin is a Maaser Sheni Derabanan coin, the other coin is a Maaser Sheni Deraisa coin, it can be confusing and people will mix it up. V'nesi shtei prutos v'nechal alaya Maaser b'pruto amechsa v'nechal ahai al hachiseira. So the Gemara says, so why don't we do the following? And that is bring two pruta coins. So one pruta coin, you're going to be mechalal the daraisa, and the second pruta coin, half of it will accept chulin, the other half will take in the derabanan. So misvar pruto mechsa tafsa shte prutos lo. So pruta tafsa pruta, and chatzi pruta lo tafsa. So how do have you lay daraisa derabanan? Daraisa derabanan lo mitzarfe. So the Gemara says, when I have two pruta coins, it's simply not going to work out. Because those two pruta coins are individual coins. What's going to end up happening is that one coin will take the daraisa Maaser Sheni, and the other coin will only be able to take the Maaser Sheni. The Rabbana Maaser Sheni. Okay, so it's not going to work. V'naisi Isar. So the Gemara says, okay, how about bringing an Isar coin? An Isar coin is slightly larger than a pruta coin, and Dilmasi Lasu Yipruta. So the Gemara says, no. Because once I start now advocating, take this coin, so then again, there's so much nuance over here. You're going to tell somebody to take an Isser coin, which admittedly is a little bit larger and it's got room for everything, but then people are going to be taking Pruta coins and then falling into the trap of what we just said. One Pruta coin will be absorbing the Daraisa, and the other Pruta coin will be absorbing the Darabanan. Okay, so the question on the table, that was the end of admittedly a complicated piece of Gemara. But let's just walk away with some takeaway points. And that is the following. And that is that Chizkiah has a solution. That if I've got Maaser Sheni, that's under a pruta's worth. So in other words, I can't be mechalal it by itself. So what I do is I just simply absorb it into a coin where I already took off Maaser Sheni. And that would be good. That's a way to solve for that problem. That's the solution of Chizkiah. The challenge is that the Gemara raises is that if we now have a solution, so this is now something which is called Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, and therefore Afilu Be'elef L'Batol, so should be not subject to Bittol. And meanwhile, we read not one, but two Braisas. One of them said it explicitly, and that is that there can be Bittol by Maaser Sheni. So how could there be Bittol by Maaser Sheni? It's a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. That was the difficulty. The Gemara has navigated through that, and I admit that navigation is complicated. Okay, next. The next and the last thing we're going to be discussing today is that another reason why it is that there would be Bittul by Maaser Sheni is what happened was is that I went ahead and transferred the Kedusha onto coins. I then brought the coins into Yerushalayim, and now what happened was is that I brought it into Yerushalayim, and then it came out of Yerushalayim. It was Nichnas V'yotze. And now because it was a Nichnas V'yotze, so as a result of that, so now this coin is unredeemable. And since it's unredeemable, so therefore subject to Bittul. Okay. So V'yamai Lehadar V'neale. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so I'm wondering. In other words, so the Maaser Sheni was brought to Yerushalayim and then was taken out of Yerushalayim. I got a great idea. Bring it back into Yerushalayim. Right? What's the problem? So the Lehadar V'neale, so Bishenitma. So it becomes Tamei. Just one quick clarification, by the way. In this discussion that we're having right now, we're not talking about the coins of Maaser Sheni. We're talking about the actual Maaser Sheni itself. Okay. I realized. All right. I was so uncomfortable for a moment. I'm like, coins? No, coins are not going to become Tamei. Okay. Anyway. So we just learned that in yesterday's daf. Right? Coins are not a kli. So anyway. So we're talking about the actual Maaser Sheni itself. Let's reset. Let's do this again. Let's do it correctly. So the Maaser Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim, then it was taken outside of Yerushalayim, and now because it was taken out of Yerushalayim, now we're stuck. And so therefore it's Batol. It can be Batol Barov. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If it was taken out of Yerushalayim, bring it back into Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Bishanitma, it becomes Tamei. It became Tamei. V'nifrike, da'amar abalazim minayin la'maaser Sheni, shenitma shepod noso, afilu b'Yerushalayim, shenemar kilo suchal se'iso, and ein se'es el achila. So the Gemara says, okay. So what happened was is that we have a problem with our Maaser Sheni. It becomes Tamei. Okay, I got it. So then, redeem it. And we just went through a drasha. Please forgive me. I know I'm going quickly. But the drasha tells me that if your Maaser Sheni becomes Tamei, you can redeem it. So, Ela Bela Kuach Bekesef Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're discussing is the following. And that is that we're not talking about the original Meiser Sheni. We're talking about Meiser Sheni that was transferred onto money. Money was brought to Yerushalayim. I took that money and purchased food in Yerushalayim. This in halacha is called the lakuach, that which is purchased. It will have kiddush as Meiser Sheni. And that is what was taken out of the walls of Yerushalayim. And that is what became Tame. That was a mouthful. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't you just simply redeem that as well? So the Gemara says, Lakuch because of Meister Sheni, Lifrike did none. Lakuch because of Meister Sheni, Sheninma Yipadeh. The Mishnah Meister Sheni says, okay. But in other words, that which you purchased with your Meister Sheni money has the same status as the original Meister Sheni, in that in the event that it becomes Tami, you redeem it. Same thing over here. So the Gemara says, Kereb Yehuda Damer Yikaver. So the Gemara says, yeah, but not everyone is on board with that. Rav Yehuda says that you can't redeem it, but rather you must bury it. In other words, the Kedusha is an unredeemable Kedusha. So, E, Rav Yehuda, Mayuria, Yatza, Filo, Yatzanami. So the Gemara says, well, really, if we're working within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, so why is the case under discussion where it was brought into Yerushalayim, was taken out of Yerushalayim? Like, according to Rav Yehuda, once I have purchased Meister Sheni with the Mal's Meister Sheni, otherwise known as Lakuach, and it becomes Tamei, game over. You don't need now to complicate matters by it left Yerushalayim, it came back in. I don't understand. Olam b'tahor. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're not talking about a case where it becomes Tamei. Umay yatza denafel mechitzos. Oh. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're discussing is the following, and that is that I know. So it's a lot. It's really a lot.
What is strange?
I know. So the Meister Sheni did not leave the walls of Yerushalayim, but rather what happened was, is that the walls fell down. Obviously, the walls fell down, right? Historically, in our lengthy history, in our 3,300-year history, and I say 3,300 years, by the way, I'm just going back to Maamad Har Sinai, right? Actually, it goes back even further if you want to count the Avos. But anyway, and okay. But in our 3,300-year history as being a nation, having left Mitzrayim, right? Tomorrow night, we're going to be spending a lot of time focusing on that. So this happened, I know, historically, twice. I know. Where the walls of Yerushalayim fell down. So we're talking about two, but as far as the halach is concerned, we're just kind of more discussing it conceptually than we are practically. But I can totally understand that this.
But it's such an incredible stretch.
I could totally understand your thinking right now. Like it's far fetched. Yes, it is. But we're discussing it.
Many times in halacha that you say things that are a lot common.
We're doing it right now is that we're just trying to explain a brisa, and using this to explain the brisa, admittedly, is a stretch. But it's more conceptual. It's more abstract. Anyway. So the Gemara says like this. The nafal mechitzos. So, and we know the halacha is that in order to eat Meiser Sheni, I have to be circumscribed within the wall. I have to be within the mechitzos. The mechitzos are new term for today. The mechitzos are collate. They absorb. So, in other words, my allowance to eat Meiser Sheni is only because it's a function of I'm within the walls of Yerushalayim. So far, so good. Now what happens is that the walls came down and no longer I have the right to eat it. Okay, redeem it. Too late. In other words, once it's now within the walls of Yerushalayim, even though there are no physical walls, I can't redeem it. So now we are looking at something which on one hand I can't eat and on the other hand I can't redeem. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, so v'amarava mechitzas lechol daraisa. Mechitzas liklot derabanan. The fact that I can't eat it without walls, that's a din d'oraisa. The fact that I can't redeem it without walls, that's a din d'rabanan. So the Gemara says, chi gazru rabanan, ki esnu lemechitzas, ki lesnu mechitzas, lo gazru rabanan. And the Gemara says, and even as the rabbis made this decree that if it's not within the walls, I can't redeem it, that's only when I have walls, and the Meister Sheni currently is outside of the walls. But if I don't have walls, the Chachamim didn't make a gzera. So the Gemara says, "Lo plug Rabbanan bein dis nel mechitzas lo bein deles nel mechitzas." The Gemara says, "No, the rabbis did not differentiate between the two." And good, a little bit more for today. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, Rav Sheshes Chad Ketani. So the Gemara says, "What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the Brisa, And again, we're looking at a scenario in which I cannot redeem my Meiser Sheni. And we had two cases in the Brisa. Case number one in the Brisa was less than a Sheva Pruta. Case number two is that it was outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, and both of those were really, we were strapped with challenges. We had to explain each one of them. What Rav Huna Bar Yehuda is going to do now is he's going to go back to the Brisa, and he's going to be extremely creative. And that is Chad Ketani. When the Brisa was describing Meister Sheni that I can't redeem, it wasn't giving me two different cases. It's actually one case. Meister Sheni Shein Bo Sheva Pruta, that's Nichnas Yerushalayim V'yatza. So the Meister Sheni was less than a Sheva Pruta, and, not or, the conjunction over here is and it was taken, it was brought to Yerushalayim and taken outside of Yerushalayim. Oh. So the Gemara says, okay, now it is an unredeemable asset, and that's why it's going to be subject to Bittul. So far, so good? Okay, now, on this proposal of Rav Huna, so the Gemara says, okay, so the problem is that you took it outside of your slime, bring it back in. So the Gemara says, nafal mechitza, so balls fall down. Venifike, the Gemara says, okay, now redeem it. Amarava, mechitza lechol deraisa, mechitza liklo derabanan, chigazra rabanan, kisna le mechitzas, kalesna le mechitzas, lo gazra rabanan, so the lo plug rabanan. Again, the same discussion that we just had, and that is that maybe the rabbis did not make a decree if the walls fell down. The Gemara says, no, the rabbis still made a decree if the walls fell down. So the Gemara says, so what did you gain by telling me that it's not a Shavapruta? Meaning the real impediment of Pidyon, wow, that was great alliteration. The real impediment of Pidyon is a function of the fact that it was taken out of the walls of Yerushalayim, and in fact, there are no more walls of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, "Lo mi bai kamar, lo mi bai yeshbo de kalta le mechitzos, aval ein bo ema lo kalta le mechitzos kamash malan." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the chiddush is over here. The chiddush is that I could have made the argument that if it went into the walls of Yerushalayim and then exited, and again it's unsolvable because the walls fell down, when it was a value of exceeding a pruta, problem is there and problem is unsolvable." Because the Meister Sheni that is above value of one pruta now has been niklat, and once now exited, now there's no, I can't solve for it. But I might have thought, Meister Sheni, that's less than a Sheva pruta, maybe because it's below threshold in terms of value, maybe doesn't get the status of klita. That's the thought going into the Brisa. And so therefore, now when it's taken out, so maybe it does not have this problem of its niklat, because it was less than a Sheva Pruta. That's why I would have thought. That's what the Brisa is coming to teach me. Even though it's less than a Sheva Pruta, it's still Meiser Sheni. Once brought into Yerushalayim, and now the walls came down, now it becomes an unredeemable asset. Okay, good. Adkan, that's going to be where we're going to stop today. Let's quickly recap, let's review. I apologize for the people on Zoom. My iPad gave out. If you're listening to this recording, so you heard my apology, and hopefully you even accept it. So the, but anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's gather today over what was really a difficult daf. Okay, I know I did it in short order, but it was difficult nevertheless. And that is the idea that when I have my Meiser Sheni, so when I'm going to be redeeming my Meiser Sheni onto a coin, so we talked about a coin at face value. In other words, that got us into the entire discussion. And that is that when I'm in Yerushalayim and I have, and I have the coin, and it's slightly effaced, nevertheless, I'm going to be treating it like face value. However, when doing the transfer from the Meister Sheni onto the coin, what everyone's going to do is leave a little bit of room in the coin. And the reason why they're going to be leaving a little bit of room in the coin is that in the event that they need to add on a little bit extra, so they're going to leave a little bit of room in the coin. That's Rav Chisda. And therefore, as a result of that, Rav Chisda now had his solution, which is that anytime now I got Meiser Sheni that's under a Sheva Pruta, take an already redeemed coin, Meiser Sheni coin, and just tack it onto that coin, because there's always going to be a little bit of room left in that coin. Good. That's the solution of Chizkia. And then what we did for the remainder of today is that if he's right, so then how do I, what about Davar Sheish L'Matirin? What about the Brisa? What about the second Brisa that describes Bittul? So there were a number of hurdles that we needed to go over if in fact Chizkia is right. The Gemara spent the entire day today defending this position of Chizkia.